talking to me?
Funny like I'm a clown, I use you.
Here's Johnny.
He's looking at you, kid.
We're on a mission from God.
Go ahead. Make my day.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Good morning.
It is
February 1st, and this is the We Are Movie Geeks podcast. I'm Tom Stockman.
Michelle McHugh.
Jim Batts.
You know what happens at the end of this month?
Huskers.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's always fun. And then next weekend's the Super Bowl, which is like the Oscars for football fans.
But they always have a lot of great TV spots for upcoming movies.
Oh, yeah. What are they having this next weekend, do we know?
They haven't announced yet. The studios haven't. It should be this week, though.
Okay.
I say definitely the Civil War and definitely Batman and Superman.
I think so, too.
Maybe Doctor Strange.
Wouldn't that be?
It'd be nice.
But I've seen trailers for all those.
Like when Gladiator came out, they had that great Super Bowl spot.
Oh, okay. Maybe we could talk about that again next Monday. But for right now, let's talk about the top 10 at the box office. Wait a minute. Jim and I saw Jane Got Her Gun.
No, that's number one at the box office, right?
That's number 17.
Oh, not even the top 15?
Yeah, not even the top 15. Never mind the top 10.
Right, let's talk about the top 10.
Now, here we go. Top 12 estimates from Rentrack. At number one was Kung Fu Panda 3 from 20th Century Fox. Came in at a whopping $41 million, playing at 3,900 theaters. It delivered a perfect animated movie option for families around the globe with a solid $116.7 million debut, with a fully $75.7 million of that totally coming from six international territories in which it played.
Yeah, when we went to the movies Friday night, Tom, it looked like a lot of folks were bringing in their kids, and I assumed that they were all going to see Kung Fu Panda 3, so yeah.
Really?
Yeah, or that theater, maybe, Hateful Eight or something.
That was kind of a risky move for Fox, I think, because most the other two, which have done phenomenal, were, opened in the summer.
Yeah.
So for them to open in, end of January, it's a family movie. It's Kung Fu Panda, so not surprising.
You think it'd be closer to even spring break if they weren't going to do summer,
Mm-hmm.
or a 3-day holiday weekend or something.
Coming in at number two is The Revenant. Fox also continues to enjoy a great box office performance for its award season. The Revenant, that is now shy of $275 million in global revenue and counting. So it took in $12.4 million, and its star Leonardo DiCaprio, widely expected to win his first Oscar for his gritty portrayal of fur trapper Hugh Glass, won the SAG Award on Saturday. At number three, Star Wars The Force Awakens brought in $10.8 million. Variety reported on Sunday that the film could break the $2 billion mark by the end of the week.
By the end of the first week of February.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's
already.
That's about 7 weeks since it opened, something like that? Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
At number four, The Finest Hours from Disney came in at $10.3 million. Had a great cinema score of like A+, playing at 3,100 sites. At number five, Ride Along 2. Brought in another $8.3 million. Number six, The Boy, $7.9 million. Number seven, Lionsgate Dirty Grandpa, with $7.6 million. Number eight was The Fifth Wave, which Tom saw over the weekend, at $7 million. Here we go. Number nine was Open Roads, 50 Shades of Black, coming in at ninth place. It's a low-risk investment for Open Road Pictures, given its $5 million price tag. So that made $6.2
million. Nobody saw that in this room.
Yes.
He saw that. Let's see it. Number 10, 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi, brought in $6 million, 2,800 locations. At number 11 was Paramount Pictures' Daddy's Home with $3 million, and rounding out the 12 was Paramount Pictures' The Big Short.
Where was Jane Got a Gun again?
Jane Got a Gun finished 17th with a dismal $664 per screen average.
Well, I got to the theater. I remember I sent you a text when I got to the theater. I got in there about 20 minutes before showtime, and Tom was saying, save us a seat on the aisle. It's like, it's only me here. I'm all by myself.
Well, there was more people in our group than there were in the rest of the theater.
Yeah, there were like
seven of us, and there was six other people in the theater.
Yeah.
It played at only 1,200 screens nationwide, brought in $803 million. This was the Western we were talking about that it was produced by Relativity Media, shot in 2013, delayed several times until the Weinstein Company picked up the rights shortly after Relativity filed for bankruptcy protection in July.
It's too bad, 'cause it's not a bad movie.
Yeah. It's been getting pretty good reviews.
Mm-hmm. It's just pretty mediocre.
Yeah, we'll review that here in a minute.
Those are the box office for the weekend.
So
the big winner is Kung Fu Panda.
Kung Fu Panda.
And the Revenant's still performing well. Well, good. Mm-hmm. Well, we only got a couple of movies to review this week. Last week we had like 6 movies to review. This week we've only got 2. And Jim, I'm going to let you start on Ip Man 3 opens this Friday, apparently only at the Ronnie's in St. Louis. But that's interesting because Ip Man 2, I think, went straight to Blu-ray. Ip Man, tell us a little bit about Ip Man. Ip Man was a real character.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he's sort of the Japanese equivalent of our, Davy Crockett or, Elliot Ness, where a lot of big screens, sort of almost fictional adventures, are using this real mm-hmm. person as sort of the basis of it.
Didn't he train Bruce Lee?
Yeah. Well, that was brought out a couple of years ago in the art house favorite, The Grandmaster, that I think may have been up for an Oscar or two, which delved into that a little bit. So it's taking some of the basics of his life story and putting him into this sort of fictional action adventure story set in 1959 in Hong Kong. He's trying to, run his school and take care of his wife, and he's got a little boy that's going to the school, but some thugs want the school signed over to them. They want to turn it into a sort of gambling hall, and where people bet on fights and stuff like that. And the leader of this gang, which they refer to him as a foreign devil, is Mike Tyson.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Really? And, you're kidding me.
Yeah, no,
does
no.
Does he speak English?
He's about half and half. Okay. They subtitled the whole thing, so even though when he's speaking English, you can understand what he's saying.
Does he bite anybody's ear off?
No, he doesn't, but he at one point gets into a fight with the Ip Man, and you see him doing these miraculous things, and I'm wondering if they sped up Mike's actions a little bit, like they did with Steven Seagal in a couple of his films. So he's one of the foreign devils, along with the head of the police department there, who's a British guy, and he's such a stereotypical, he actually says cheerio when he's leaving a meeting.
I say that all the time.
Well, at least he doesn't say pip-pip.
Governor.
Governor. They're trying to throw a lot of diverse elements in there. Of course, there's a guy who runs a rickshaw company whose son also goes to the same school as Ip Man's son, and he's wanting to become a kung fu master also. And they're in the big showdown. The big showdown is between these two guys, not between Mike Tyson and the Ip Man. It's a pretty bloodless kung fu film. It's nothing like The Raid or anything like that. It's not tons of gore. It's closer to a PG-13 or something like that. But some of the things are just so ludicrous. At one point, the bad guys go into the school and scoop up a bunch of kids, including Ip Man's son, and put them in a cage. And they say, unless the school is signed over to us, once we get that property, we're selling these kids into slavery and all that. It's just kind of ridiculous.
But how is Mike Tyson in it?
He's only in maybe 2 or 3 scenes. Okay. And
the trailer makes him look like,
and it's kind of entertaining. It's kind of a wacky element that's in there. But
it sounds like fun.
Yeah, it's never terribly dull. They have this whole subplot about the Ip Man's wife feeling kind of ignored, and then it turns out she's sick and she's having to get treatment, and the Ip Man, in order to be nicer to her, learns how to dance, how to do ballroom dancing in one scene. And it's kind of a goofy, kind of a fun thing.
So you'll be reviewing Ip Man 3 Thursday night at WeirdMovieGeeks.com. Yeah. How many stars do you think you'll give
it? I'll probably give it 3. It's definitely like a B movie, while The Grandmaster was more of an A film, that's for certain.
All right, so look for Jim's review of Ip Man 3. The only other movie we get to review today is Jane Got a Gun.
The girl fit the description of our old friend Jane. We will question every living soul. Turn over every rock until that snake slithers out into sight. When she does, well, you bring me her head.
Jim and I both saw. Michelle hasn't seen it. We saw it Friday night over at the Grieve Corps. It's a Western starring Natalie Portman as Jane. And it opens with Jane reading a little story to her daughter, and then her husband comes riding in, and he's been shot up in the back. His back is full of lead. And it turns out that, what was her name, the Bailey brothers?
The Bishop brothers.
Are after him. And
yeah, the Bishop boys.
Yeah, the Bishop boys. And the Bishop boys are played by Ewan McGregor and a bunch of other
shady-looking
guys. Yeah. And since her husband's too laid up to help protect the homestead, she goes to her ex, played by
Joel Edgerton.
Yes. And they had been an item many, many years earlier. So he comes over to the homestead to protect her. It's kind of a simple story. It's kind of an old-fashioned Western. It's not a particularly great one, though. I can sort of see why these studios didn't have a whole lot of faith in it. I liked that it was sort of respectful to the Western genre. It didn't try to be hip or postmodern, except for that title. The title is actually a reference to a 90s pop song, which is a little cutesy. But besides that, the movie itself, you know, it's slow-paced, but, you know, life was slow-paced back in the Old West. I kind of enjoyed it. It's rated R. It's got some good realistic violence in it at some points. And Natalie Portman's pretty good in it. Ewan McGregor is particularly good. He makes a pretty compelling villain, and he's almost unrecognizable with his little evil black goatee.
I thought he was maybe channeling Val Kilmer in Tombstone. That and Snidely Whiplash.
Yeah. He's got the same facial hair. But like I say, it's not bad if you like old-fashioned Westerns. It's sort of like Shane or High Noon. It all takes place in a relatively short amount of time. The ending where they've booby-trapped the house sort of reminded me of Home Alone a little bit too much. You know, they're shooting at these traps of canning jars full of kerosene, and they're villains. Yeah, and the villains are all in flames running around the house. It's a little silly, but it's not a bad Western. What do you think, Jim?
Oh, I think you're a little more generous than I would be with it. The characters just aren't very compelling. I really didn't think Ewan McGregor's character had much to do, just besides being just evil and twirling his mustache and being up to bad things. I wish that they could have fleshed out Joel Edgerton's character a little bit more. The thing is, the film interrupts every other scene with a flashback. Mm-hmm. So they're still sort of telling the story of how their romance went south. And I don't know, it takes away from the momentum of gearing up for the big battle at the end of it. Mm-hmm. It just kind of slogs along. I certainly wouldn't compare it to the just incredible classics like Shane and High Noon. It's much structural-wise, but
similar.
Certainly,
It's not in the same.
No.
Of course not. I think Natalie Portman's story is pretty good. I think last week you mentioned it was kind of a reworking of Hanny Calder, which it's not really. She's more of a victim in this. Hanny Calder is a rape and revenge story, and Hanny really goes after him in that one, where this one, it's really Joel Edgerton's kind of the hero in this one.
Yeah, a little bit of Quick and the Dead in there also, the Sharon Stone Western.
But that was more satirical. This one's much more square and straightforward. But I would have given it, I would have probably given it 3 stars had I reviewed it. And sounds like you'd have given it a couple less.
Yeah, maybe just a couple of stars. I think Natalie looks pretty good as in her gunfighting outfits. Mm-hmm. But I didn't find the characters very compelling.
All right. So Jim doesn't recommend Jane Got a Gun. I recommend it if you like old-fashioned Westerns. It's not too bad.
If you can get to the theater in the next 3 or 4 days.
it's the only Western in town. All right. So Jim was a little harsher. I thought you were a little harsher on The Finest Hours, too. You only gave it 1.5 stars in your review. I saw it the other night. I liked it a bit better than you did. I do agree it was kind of corny, and this whole character of the fiancée.
Miriam?
Yeah. And she runs in, and she's just really getting in the way. I think they wanted to put a strong female character in there to appeal to, I guess, female audiences and family audiences.
But she's running out into the winter storm without her coat, and of course, then she has to put the car into the snowdrift, and you're just like, yeah. What a knucklehead.
Yeah, I mean, she's really causing more damage than good. She's getting in, you know, Eric Bana's trying to run this rescue mission. She keeps getting in his face. And then of course, she's the one, you know, they're on this rescue boat, but they've lost their compass, so they can't figure out where the shore is. Although, isn't there supposed to be a bunch of lighthouses in that part of the country?
Well, yeah, mm-hmm. Couldn't they? Well, I guess with the storm, they probably couldn't see the stars that well. Yeah. I was going to say, usually you do that by, you know, charting stars.
Yeah. But she's the one who thinks, oh, I'll turn on my headlights on my car. So, oh, yeah, what a great idea. So everybody turns on their headlights. Yeah, it was a little bit corny, but it's Disney. It was Disney-fied. But, yeah, it was sort of, like I say, old-fashioned and square, but kind of like Jane Got a Gun was. But it's still pretty thrilling. There's a sequence where they're on these rope ladders trying to get onto the rescue boat from the big ship that's split in half. And those were some pretty exciting scenes.
But it just seems it was constant scenes of the little rescue boat having to, you know, almost like a surfing movie, kind of you know, trying to go under the waves and all that.
Yeah,
and then
that
it gets doused.
Ridiculous.
And it's like, oh, man.
I think it actually goes under, totally underwater at one point, and then pops up out of the water. Ta-da, and then the music just kind of swells at that point. No, it's not a great movie at all. But I think it deserves more than your 1.5 star.
Well,
I would have given it probably 2.5 or maybe even 3.
Yeah, well, Ben Foster has so little to do in it.
I read that, and that's a shame.
All the characters are kind of interchangeable. Nobody really stands out in the film. But it came in fourth, so it did okay, maybe about what they expected.
$10 million's pretty, you know, for how much they've been hitting the TV.
Exactly.
Yeah, how much the marketing has been working on that. That's pretty small.
They had the huge premiere with the Coast Guard.
But lots of TV commercials. Mm-hmm.
The other one that you didn't give a very good review to that I caught up with over the weekend was The Fifth Wave. And I'll have to agree with you there. That has got to be the dopiest love story.
Now, did you
Evan,
almost
what was his name? Evan Walker?
Yeah, did you almost burst out laughing when she caught him skinny dipping?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh,
well,
that is the silliest thing.
During the alien apocalypse.
Yeah.
He was bathing in the pond.
And she just stumbles across him, and he's like, why, he's beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Evan Walker. And then what was the other guy? Ben Parrish.
But they called him Zombie.
Yeah.
Now, do you
the
agree,
Battle of the Hunks.
Now, do you agree with me that Micah Monroe as Ringer was about the most entertaining element of that film?
Yeah, she was pretty good. But then they recruit these armies of teenagers to take on these aliens. But then they put a couple of 8-year-olds in there, too. That doesn't make any sense.
It sounds like TNT's Falling Skies, that they... That really great sci-fi team.
Although the kid from Grand Budapest Hotel was one of the warriors.
Yeah, I didn't realize that to the end credits. I said, Tony Rapunzel or something like that? It's like, that's the kid from Grand Budapest.
Yeah. Wow. But, you know, I took a couple of 12-year-old girls, and they liked it. So so that's apparently the target audience, and I guess it appeals to them. But
boy, I had a tough time recognizing Maria Bello, too.
Oh, she looked rough.
I mean, maybe she was doing her version of Elizabeth Banks' character from Hunger Games or something. You know, I don't know.
I didn't recognize her at first. All right, so neither of us recommend The Fifth Wave. I think Finest Hours is pretty decent, and I think Jane Got a Gun's pretty decent. But we got to talk about some movies that are coming up soon. 3 movies open Friday, but the screenings are all tomorrow night.
What?
Michael at our site will be reviewing and seeing Hail Caesar, which is the new movie from the Coen brothers.
Oh, that lucky guy.
That looks really good.
An army of technicians and actors and top-notch artistic people are working hard to bring to the screen our biggest release of the year. Hail Caesar is a prestige picture with one of the biggest stars in the world, Baird Whitlock.
A truth we could see if we had, but... If we
faith, cut.
I've caught Josh Brolin doing the promotional stuff for it, and he is playing a real person from the 40s, Eddie Mannix, the fixer at MGM.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if the other stars in it are playing disguised versions of the real-life stars. It appears from the trailer that Scarlett Johansson is Esther Williams. But I'm not 100% sure. And maybe, I don't know, is Channing Tatum maybe supposed to be Gene Kelly? I don't know.
We'll find out. I'm sure I'll see it this weekend.
It looks like a lot of fun.
We'll review that next Monday. Look for Michael's review Thursday night. Jim drew the short straw and gets to see Nicholas Sparks' adaptation, The Choice.
Can you open our puppies? The puppies.
Yeah, we're all good now.
What am I going to do with all you guys, huh?
Thank you, Travis.
I think that's the first time you said my name. Okay.
Who's in that? Do anybody know
that? Stars. The director is Ross Katz, who did Taking Chance for HBO. It stars Benjamin Walker, Teresa Palmer.
Your gal from San Andreas is in it. Alexandria Daddario.
She is.
Maggie
she is.
Grace, Tom wanna, Welling, Tom oh, Wilkinson.
I didn't know that. You want to trade, Jim? And
I think you've got some fans of Pride and Prejudice you're going to take to it. Yeah, so. Sure.
And we covered The Junket, so we have that that interview with all the stars, and Nicholas Sparks is up playing at the site right now.
All right, so look for Jim's review of The Choice, and I will be seeing tomorrow night Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
A young woman must be many things. Kind, well-read, and accomplished. But to survive in the world as we know it, she'll need other qualities.
Who directed this? Do we know?
Is it by that Graham? Written by that Graham fellow?
Yeah, the same guy who wrote. Didn't he write the Abe Lincoln versus Abe Lincoln Vampire?
Whose star Benjamin Walker is in The Choice.
Okay.
I liked
Abe Lincoln Vampire Slayer. I liked it a lot.
This is directed by Burr Steers.
Okay, Burr Steers. I don't know who he is.
He did 17 Again. He's been around for a while.
Huh. Interesting. Well, I think the trailer looks awesome. It's got Cinderella. What's her name?
Lily James.
Lily James.
He did Charlie St. Cloud.
Okay.
Oh, Sears did.
And yes. Matt Smith is in it. And,
Doctor Who there.
It looks like a lot of fun. The early sure word on it is that it's a good meshing of the two genres.
All right, cool. Well, I will be reviewing Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
You'll have a lot more fun than me, I'll bet you.
I think it's more fun to review bad movies, so maybe I'll have
It may not be.
I mean, the guy our contributor who covered it to Junket said, for a first-time Nicholas Sparks person, he said it was charming.
Well, this is about my seventh one. And if it goes as crazy as Safe Harbor did in its last scene, then it might be entertaining.
Yeah. Okay, I'll give you that. But it's coming up on Valentine's Day. Yeah. Lionsgate kind of wanted
Jim
to.
Jim, have a heart.
Heartburn. More
there
heartburn.
We go.
Oh. Right.
So we'll be reviewing those more in depth next Monday at the podcast here. And, of course, the reviews will be up on our site. Let's talk awards because we can't go through an episode of our podcast without talking about awards.
Especially award
this
season.
Time of year. SAG Awards. Speaking of SAG, did you see Susan Sarandon at the SAG Awards?
She was there.
There you go. She was sagging away.
She did the in memoriam.
Yes. SAG. Actually, I got to see the SAG Awards this
you did.
Weekend. Yeah,
yeah
I ponied up for Sling on my Roku, so I got it. So
good, yeah. Good. Yeah, the Screen Actors Guild were announced. The awards were handed out. The coveted actor statuettes for outstanding motion picture and primetime television performances of 2015 this Saturday at the Los Angeles Shrine Center. So the big winner in the movie category was Spotlight for best outstanding performance by a motion picture cast ensemble. In the acting categories, best actor went to Leonardo DiCaprio, supporting Idris Elba. Best actress was Brie Larson for Room, and supporting actress was Alicia Vikander.
So Idris better get his tux ready for the Oscars there, so it sounds like he'll be... No, he
wasn't nominated. I know. No. But did you hear the applause?
Oh, when welcome they said, to diverse TV.
Yeah, it was. I was glad that,
But that was the whole controversy of the Oscars. I think a lot of it's I don't quite agree with. But there's always an actor you think that got in that shouldn't, and another one that should have. And I don't quite understand Christian Bale in the supporting actor category at the Oscars, because I think his was maybe the most least interesting character in Big Short. And
Steve Carell.
I would rather have seen Idris Elba in that slot.
Same.
But
Leonardo DiCaprio, Brie Larson, Alicia Vikander, they all gave just great acceptance speeches.
Yes.
Which bodes well for, voting.
I think that then best actor and actress is pretty much sewn up for the Oscars, don't you think?
It might. Mm,
I know, yeah, the supporting yeah, categories supporting are definitely. up in the air along with Best Picture.
Leo's a done deal.
No, I think Sly's a done deal.
Well, yeah, that too.
Yeah, right. But like I say, it was odd that he didn't get a SAG
nomination. I'm not sure about actress. I'm not so.
You're not so sold. Sure about actress?
No,
really, I think Bree's got it.
It's just me holding out for a Charlotte Rampling win.
No, that won't happen. But I think I think Bree should be glad that Kate just won 2 years ago and that Jennifer Lawrence just won 3 years ago.
Well, you know, I think a lot of the folks there are divided on Carol. I don't know if you know, even if Bree wasn't in the category, if Kate would have gotten that for it.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of discussion about that film. Mm. And, yeah, Tina and Amy had a great joke about that movie.
And Haynes did not receive a DGA nom, so that, you know, a lot of what the guilds do, has a big influence on how the Academy voters nominate.
So
there was also a few other awards that happened over the weekend. Oh. Editors Awards, the Ace Eddie Awards, were also handed out. In the feature film Dramatic, that went to Mad Max Fury Road.
Good choice.
Exactly. Edited by Margaret Sixel. So fabulous. That is, I believe, George Miller's wife.
Yes.
Comedy editing went to The Big Short, which is another one. That's my film.
That's very well edited, I will tell you.
The Oscars need to split that up to comedy editing.
Mm-hmm. That was handed out, like I said, this weekend. Inside Out for Best Animation Editing.
Very good.
And Best Edited Documentary went to Amy. Oh, okay. So that was also handed out. Plus, last night, the Art Directors Guild also gave out their awards. The Revenant, Mad Max Fury Road, and The Martian, they all won. They also won big. And they also won over a lot of Trumbo, Danish Girl, Cinderella, Jurassic World, Ex Machina, Sicario, Spectre. So those three films, that bodes well come Oscar time.
But no
as well.
Art direction for Crimson Peak, huh? Because I thought that was
Crimson
really
Peak, Crimson Peak was nominated.
Oh, it was? Okay.
It was nominated, but the big winners for the art directors, like I said, Revenant, Mad Max, Martian. Coming up down the road on February 6th, the DGA will finally hear what their directors think. So the DGA Awards will be announced February 6th. The nominees were announced on January 12th. To recap, Inarritu's The Revenant, Tom McCarthy, Spotlight, Adam McKay, The Big Short, George Miller, Mad Max Fury Road, and Ridley Scott, The Martian. So we'll find out, is George Miller, going to win?
It's a strong lineup.
Yeah, it's a very strong lineup. But boy, if they see somebody like Tom McCarthy or Adam McKay, watch out Oscar night. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, no, Ridley's not up for an Oscar for directing.
He's not. That's a shame.
Yeah.
And also beginning today is TCM's 31 Days of Oscar. So that'll run through the month. So if there's some big, epic, old Hollywood movies that you have not seen, this is the month. Clear out your DVR.
You probably run into March a little bit, I'm guessing, right?
It does. It kind of overlaps a little bit.
Yeah.
It's always a great month.
Oh, yeah. Yep. They do shorts, too. They do shorts. It's great.
And the shorts have just started running.
I think they're at the Tivoli, aren't they?
Yeah, I believe so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
St. Louis. We'll be talking about the Directors Guild next Monday, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's talk about some local stuff, because there's some local movie events picking up here in St. Louis. The African World Documentary Festival. You ever heard of this thing?
No.
Apparently this is the ninth annual one, and it's at the Missouri History Museum starting Friday. It's sponsored by the E. Desmond Lee Professorship in African American Studies at the International Studies and Program Office, University of Missouri in St. Louis, but it'll be at the History Museum, which is over there in Forest Park, and there's a lot of black studies type of documentaries, I guess, is in February Black History Month. So.
Oh, yes, mm-hmm.
There you go. Go to wearemoviegeeks.com, and there's a nice article about all the details, and our contributing writer Stephen Tronicek has reviewed a couple of these documents. Also, this Sunday is another Harold Lloyd movie. Have you seen For Heaven's Sake, Jim?
Oh yes, I have seen.
One where he plays a millionaire.
Yeah. Posted by his car, it's a fancy new car, and he automatically wrecks it and just walks away.
That's a great one. Yes.
Yeah.
Really like that.
Very different for his character. It's not the shy sort of introverted glasses character. He's kind of a spoiled brat at the start of it. And any Harold Lloyd film is definitely worth checking out, especially if it's got
live music.
Yeah,
and this one does. This is For Heaven's Sake, 1926 Harold Lloyd feature. It runs 1 hour, and it'll be played Sunday, February 7th at 4 p.m. So that'll get you out of there in time to watch the Super Bowl, which doesn't start till 5:30. That's at the Second Presbyterian Church at 4501 Westminster Place in St. Louis. and it will be accompanied by live music, like we said, by organist Andrew Peters, who I think is actually the organist at that church.
Yeah, I think a few years ago they did Grandma's Boy, didn't they, with the live organ, I think.
Oh, at that same church?
I think so, maybe about four or five years ago.
Okay, yeah. I don't remember that, but you obviously do, so good. I will be there. It's going to be great. SLC Punk. Have you ever seen that movie, Jim?
No, I haven't.
Stars Matthew Lillard.
Yeah. Lillard. Shaggy from the Scooby-Doo movies.
And he was in The Descendants as well. Mm-hmm. He was in Trouble with the Curve.
And Serial Mom.
Okay. That's right. So that's playing Wednesday night over at Schlafly Bottleworks.
Ross, what is going on with you?
I need you to see me. This is who I am.
Ross had to fill Bob's shoes his entire life.
I'm just not interested. I mean, you're not
a punk, right? And it's all Disneyland and the
sea. You and me. Today was off the hook, man.
You think it's a good idea to threaten your customers with, actual death?
Why do you think they come in here?
Part of the Strange Brew
The Strange Brew film series. And next month they're doing some kind of David Bowie tribute there. Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars. Is that a concert film? I think it is.
That sounds like it. It's not Man of Filled Earth, I take it.
No, they're showing that at Webster University, though. I looked at their calendar. So they're doing a tribute to Bowie. And then Chef Liz with Tenacious Eats is going to do Labyrinth in March. I'll talk about that more about that in the next week or two. Speaking of SLC Punk, we're going to talk here now about movies coming out in 2016 that we're super duper excited about. And they're the sequel to SLC Punk is coming out this year. It's called Punk's Dead, SLC Punk 2, and it's by the same writer and director. I don't know a whole lot about it since I've never seen the first SLC Punk, but it was way back in 1999, so it took them 17 years to get a sequel together. But as far as the most anticipated movies of 2016 go, Jim, what are some of your most anticipated movies of 2016 besides Captain America?
Well, that's number one on there. It's Civil War. That'll be out in May, I believe, and that's going to be the big one for me, although for a lot of comic book fans, it's going to be Batman v. Superman, Dawn of Justice, which will come out March 25th, of all things. So I guess that's right on the beginning of spring break for a lot of schools, so I guess they're hoping for big crowds from that. It's directed by Zack Snyder, who did the controversial Man of Steel a couple of years back. Now what I'm most interested in this film, it's not seeing Henry Cavill again as Superman, but I'm interested in Ben Affleck as Batman. That looks interesting. That's a different take. It's an older Batman.
And it was so controversial when they announced people were just up in arms.
They told Ben, said, don't go on the internet this weekend. People are going nuts. But now that everyone's saying, he looks kind of interesting in it.
Doesn't he?
Yeah.
And the TV spots have been really good.
And Jeremy Irons is as Alfred. And the TV spots are really showing Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman.
Yes.
And of course they had a big spoiler a few weeks ago when they showed a Doomsday showing up. My only concern, and I hate to harp on that because a lot of people have been down on it, is I'm concerned about Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor.
That is the weak link, at least of the trailers.
He looks
awful.
That looks a little too goofy to me. I'm assuming he's going to lose that shaggy red hair
Why is Lex Luthor even that compelling of a villain? He's not. I mean, it's a bald guy who wants to take over the world. I've never really understood the appeal.
Well,
Superman's
part of Superman's not had the greatest rogues gallery of villains. Not
like
nearly
Batman.
As strong as Batman
or
Spider-Man. Or even going to Dick Tracy in the comic strips. but
Mumbles. Prune face.
But Luther has been there almost from the start of the character in the late 30s, and there's been some interesting takes on him in the comics. They sort of did a revamp of him in the late 80s, in which he was more of a millionaire megalomaniac, and had elements of the Kingpin in there from Daredevil, and it's kind of interesting.
Which, can I segue, Warner Brothers' other big DC Comics superhero mega franchise is Suicide Squad, a film I'm really looking forward to, which comes out in August.
Well, I've got some hopes for that. I don't know if the characters are that compelling.
Is Will Smith in that?
Will Smith, Margot Robbie, Viola Davis.
Deadshot.
Jared Leto is the Joker.
I've seen that.
I cannot wait for that.
Margot Robbie is Harley Quinn.
Exactly.
Is this rated R?
It's kind of looking that way.
Well, okay. Getting close to. But the Deadpool, which comes out just in a couple of weeks, is definite
that.
R.
We're seeing that this Thursday now. Yeah, they've shown. I've seen the Red Band trailer.
But Warner Brothers.
In fact, we'll be able to review that next Monday.
Two big superhero, hopefully franchises for them.
Well, people were complaining last year. It's like, oh, I'm so tired of the superhero film. Well, there were only two superhero films, really, in 2015. Mm-hmm. There's at least six this coming year. So now you can complain a little bit. But six out of 100 or 150 releases isn't that bad.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we'll have two from DC Warners, two from Fox, which has the X-Men franchise from Marvel, and then two from Marvel Studios. And
what are they? Spider-Man?
It's Civil War. Now, another couple of reasons I'm really interested in Civil War, besides it being Captain America's film, is it's introducing a couple of new characters into the Marvel movie universe. We're going to we've seen them in the trailers already. The Black Panther.
Yes.
And we're really looking forward to him. He's kind of referenced in Ultron last summer. But Chadwick Boseman, I believe, is the young actor's name, who can add this to his resume along with James Brown in 42. I'm trying to
think about Robinson.
Jackie Robinson.
Yeah, I think that's been a problem with some of these superhero movies is they introduce too many characters. That was definitely the problem with the last Avengers film. They couldn't focus on the Avengers because they had to introduce four or five new superheroes.
Well, I would rather it be just about Cap, but it the way they're setting it up, it looks fairly interesting.
Is Spider-Man in this?
Supposedly Spider-Man is in it. There have been reports that the young actor Tom Holland, who's just been cast, has been down in Atlanta for it. And I think online they posted a photo of him with maybe it was one of the Russo brothers on the set of the Avengers Quinjet. So I think that we'll get to see Spidey making an appearance in this. So this is a big deal.
Right. For the what about the Marvel Universe. X-Men movie? What do we know about that?
Well, we know that Deadpool is kind of an X-Men offshoot. I know a couple of the X-Men are in it. The Colossus is in it. I know that.
Yep.
And
it's the last time we're going to see Jennifer Lawrence as Mystique.
In X-Men Apocalypse.
Yes.
Yes, that'll come out in May, as I understand, and that's from. Oh gosh, I'm just blanking on his name there. The director of the
Bryan Singer.
Bryan Singer, yeah. What's wrong with it? Yeah, yeah.
Right.
But Bryan Singer, and this is supposed to be his last one. And I guess there's going to be maybe another Hugh Jackman Wolverine one eventually.
Yeah, and then there's the other Marvel movie, Doctor Strange, from director Scott Derrickson.
When's that open?
That opens November 4th. So we're gonna. It's also got Tilda Swinton as the ancient
Doctor
one.
Strange. who's in that besides Benedict and
Benedict
Tilda?
Cumberbatch, Rachel McAdams. Oh, yeah. They're not saying if she's going to be playing Clea, who is Doctor Strange's girlfriend in the comics, but I have a feeling she might eventually be that character.
Mads Mikkelsen, Michael Stubarg.
She would tell Ejiofor.
Ejiofor's in it.
As Mordo.
I call him Chewie.
I like the release date, November 4th. That's a good...
Yeah, that's a good time. And yeah,
my daughter's birthday.
Yeah, Marvel fans are really excited about this. It's directed by Eric Dickinson?
Scott Derrickson.
Yeah, close. And this is... they kind of referenced Doctor Strange in Captain America Winter Soldier.
They did.
Which... Got a kick out of that one. But he's one of Marvel's superheroes oldest characters there. He's been around since 61 or 63, actually.
Let's move away from superhero movies when we're talking about movies we're looking forward to in 2016, because we're always looking forward to superhero movies. Mm. But the big one we're all looking forward to, of course, is Zoolander 2. And I think there's a screening of that maybe next week. But that's the same night as my 16mm night. So I won't
that opens up
it.
The following weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's got Benedict Cumberbatch
in
it.
That's right.
As well.
He's a villain in it. Yeah. Along with the villainous Will Ferrell.
That was the best reveal of that new trailer when he ever pops up.
Yeah. I am all.
But Kristen Wiig is in this one. I guess she's playing a villainous character also. And I didn't recognize in the first trailer.
Either. Also, another big one coming out in April is one of the two different versions, but this is Disney's version of The Jungle Book.
Yeah,
John Favreau, Bill Murray is the voice of Baloo the bear. That's great. Scarlett Johansson plays Ka, Idris Elba, Shere Khan, Christopher Walken as King Louie. So it's a great, kind of looking forward to that.
It's
too.
A great trailer, I tell you.
Isn't it? Really, isn't it?
Yeah. How about this trailer for 10 Cloverfield Lane? Have you guys seen that?
Yes.
With John Goodman.
Another come from nowhere.
Well, they say it's a sequel to Cloverfield, but Cloverfield is about a giant monster stomping through New York, and this looks like a much smaller story about some kind of a shelter where there's smaller monsters, or maybe it's a bigger monster. They're being kind of clever and secretive in the trailer.
Yeah, we have the poster and the trailer up online, so really well done.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Well, to delve into the heroes again, another film we're looking forward to. This
Kristen Wiig.
In Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah, Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
And I guess that's just going to be, the title is just going to be Ghostbusters, not like Ghostbusters Again or Ghostbusters Rebooted or whatever.
Ghostbusters in dresses.
But they're all in jumpsuits. They're not wearing dresses in the photos I've seen. But that comes out July 15th, I say.
And another remake that comes out this summer is The Magnificent Seven.
One of my favorite
westerns. Mm-hmm. The original stars Steve McQueen, Yul Brynner, and Charles Bronson, and James Coburn. And this new one stars Denzel Washington.
Yes.
And Chris Pratt.
Yeah, Chris Pratt and Vincent D'Onofrio.
Oh, I hope D'Onofrio's the bad guy. He's a great bad guy.
Isn't he?
Yeah,
and it's directed by Antoine Fuqua, who is a good action director.
I hope
it's rated R.
But yeah, there was
I think so.
Yeah, one of our buddies, Tom, was all upset on the internet and said, yeah, it's a modern day thing, but no, it's set in the Old West, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I assume. How could you make...
Well, I've heard that Chris Pratt was going around with a little six-gun holster in the back of his car so he could practice his quick draw whenever he got a chance, when he was pulled up to a long stoplight or something, which must have made the other drivers freak out to see that.
Of course, Magnificent Seven was a remake of The Seven Samurai.
Mm-hmm. There's also a lot of part threes, part fours, a lot of franchises. We've got Independence Day Resurgence. Coming out. We've got
a new Star Trek.
Got a new Star Trek.
Is that just called Beyond? Or?
Star Trek Beyond.
Beyond.
We got
a new director.
Yeah. We got a new Jack Reacher with Tom Cruise.
Exactly. Bridget Jones' Baby.
Oh, boy. Just what we're all clamoring for.
And
that's in September.
And The Conjuring 2, which I'm looking forward to. I had a lot of fun with the first Conjuring. So.
Inferno, Dan Brown. Again, Robert Langdon, Tom Hanks is back, as the title character.
Yeah, I didn't see the second one in that series.
We also have, another Star Wars movie.
Oh, that's right, Rogue One. Yes,
it's
at the end of the year, I guess, right in December again. I suppose
it's another Star Wars kind of. It's set in
animated.
No. Oh no, we're having a Star Wars movie from here until 2020.
Yeah, but this is not one of the official Star Wars. It's like an offshoot, a spinoff.
So it doesn't have any of the same actors from
this
the one
is
we
the
just
crew.
Saw.
This is the crew. We're going to see the backstory of the crew that stole the plans to the Death Star. When they talk about
episode four.
They're really milking this, aren't they?
No, Marvel, Disney is going to have a Star Wars movie from here till Doomsday.
When the first one does $2 billion, they're gonna do as many as they can. That's for certain.
All right, I did not know there was a Star Wars.
So there's a lot of franchise. There's a lot of franchisey. I mean, there's Dory, Finding Dory, that comes out in June.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Another Bourne film in July. I guess they haven't titled yet still.
And there's another remake that you may have not known about. They've remade Going in Style.
Oh, yes, that's right. Warner Zach Brothers. Braff has directed that, hasn't he?
Yeah, the original had Art Carney and Lee Strasberg.
And George Burns.
George Burns. And this new one has apparently Michael Caine, Morgan Freeman, and Alan Alda in those roles.
No, what is it? Is it Alan Arkin or is it Alan Alda?
Alan Arkin, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I said Alan Alda. I meant Alan Arkin.
Shane Black, who wrote Lethal Weapon, he's coming out with a new movie called The Nice Guys with
the Russell Crowe. We saw the trailer.
Cannot wait for this.
Friday night. The trailer's a lot of fun. We also saw the trailer to The Free State of Jones.
Yeah, I don't know. That didn't look very good in the trailer. Maybe
I'm kind of looking forward to that.
Comes out in May. And that's from Gary Ross, who did the first Hunger Games.
And Seabiscuit.
One of the great films.
It looks a little hokey to me, but...
I like the whole Civil War.
Matthew McConaughey and Mgathu Ruha, the lady from Belle, I believe.
Yes, exactly.
I never can get her name right.
Well, she can never get your name right.
That's right.
Universal Pictures also has the fantasy movie we've spoken previously, Warcraft. By Duncan Jones.
When's that open this summer?
That opens June 10th.
Okay.
That's kind of a, think they're waiting for all the Memorial Day movies to get out of the way first.
Yeah, and this movie La La Land looks kind of interesting from what I've read about it. It's from the director of Whiplash, and Damien Chazelle, and it's reteams Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling again, and it's looks like it's a full fledged musical set in modern day Los Angeles.
What's it called?
La La Land.
La La Land. Never heard of it.
Looks very interesting, at least from the what I've read about it, the photos from it.
Okay, and I'll of course be looking forward to the new Woody Allen film, which will probably play at Cannes and will open this summer. It doesn't have a title yet, but it does have Steve Carell, Kristen Stewart, Jesse Eisenberg, and Judy Davis is back. She was spectacular in a couple of Woody Allen movies back 20 years ago. In fact, she was nominated for an Oscar for that, and I think she was actually considered the front runner. And then Marissa Tomei kind of swooped in and upset everybody that year. So I don't know if it's a comedy. I don't even know the name of it, but Woody Allen movies are always something to look forward to.
Got a new Clint Eastwood film?
Sully, about
Sullenberg?
I think
Miracle on the Hudson.
Yeah, Tom Hanks plays Sully. It looks a little too much like Captain Phillips. I mean, he's playing this guy who he did some sort of heroic maritime disaster. But
And the first still Warner Brothers release that we posted on the site, he looks a lot. I mean, it's the makeup and hair is really good.
And that's in September.
I think Laura Linney plays Mrs. Sullenberg in that. So, you know, Clint Eastwood.
Spielberg's also got a new movie coming out called The BFG on July 1st. It's based on Roald Dahl's beloved tale of the big friendly giant. Definitely looking for the first trailer for it. It's got this very magical, I really appreciate whoever cut the first teaser for it.
Yeah.
So.
And Jodie Foster's behind the camera again for Money Monster.
Money Monster,
Looks pretty interesting.
So it's like a hostage drama, but it looks a lot like, what was the one with, was it Mad City with John Travolta and Dustin Hoffman a few years ago?
Yeah, a little bit like that, a little bit of John Q in there, I suppose.
Yeah.
With the editing, editing is going to be crucial to this movie, I think.
Money Monster. It's got George Clooney and...
Clooney and Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts.
Fourth time working together.
And when does Assassin's Creed come out?
Let's see. It says December 21st.
That's a Michael Fassbender.
That's a long ways off there. Another based on a video game movie.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. What else we got going on here?
Warner Brothers also has Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. That's the new Harry Potter film written by J.K. Rowling. Really? Funny to say the new Harry Potter film. But Eddie Redmayne is in this.
What does Harry Potter have to do with this film?
It's based on the...
It's set in the same world. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yep.
Okay. And actually, I don't.
But
know
this time in America.
But is Harry Potter a character in the film?
No.
Okay.
But actually, I wonder when you saw Fifth
Wave.
But
technically, it's a Harry Potter movie.
When you saw Fifth Wave, did they run the trailer for Neighbors 2?
I've seen that trailer.
That's a very funny trailer. Yeah.
That's got Chloe Moretz in it as well. Yeah. Another funny trailer is The Brothers Grimsby.
Isn't that
with Mark Strong? Sacha Baron Cohen is the brothers, and that trailer's hilarious when he ends up in the mattress store with Rebel Wilson.
We'll get to see next week in How to Be Single,
which
will come out in the next couple of weeks or so.
Yeah, and that's Dakota Johnson and...
Alison Brie and Leslie Mann. I've heard that Brie Larson is in that. I don't know if they're not showing her in the trailer. So.
Maybe you're getting Alison Brie and Brie Larson mixed up.
But Disney Pixar, Disney has two animated, like we were saying, Finding Dory, which comes out in December. Much anticipated, and the release date, you know, keeps moving. But it is coming out in June. It's from Andrew Stanton, who did Finding Nemo and WALL-E. And then they also have the Dwayne Johnson movie. Is it Moana? M-O-A-N-A? It's his voice is set in the ancient South Pacific. It's the same people who made Little Mermaid and Aladdin, and that comes out in award season end of November.
So many movies to look forward to. The one I was talking about in the car on the way over here that I'm the most excited about is The Disaster Artist. The Disaster Artist is based on a book about the making of The Room. James Franco has written and directed... has adapted the book and has directed this film and is playing Tommy Wiseau. The Room is like a spectacular bad movie. I've written quite a bit about it at WeAreMovieGeeks.com, and I've hosted Tommy Wiseau at Midnight Weekends at the Tivoli a couple of times. I'm really looking forward to this. Sharon Stone is in it, and Zac Efron, Seth Rogen is in it. So it's going to be a major release, I assume. Disaster Artist is based on a book by Greg Sestero. That's the sort of the handsome co-star of The Room, and that's the character that Zac Efron plays in this movie, The Disaster Artist. So I'm really, really looking forward to that. And if you go to IMDb, they actually have the poster up, and you can see what James Franco looks like as Tommy Wiseau. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. So he's like a dead ringer.
Yeah.
One or two Oscar-y kind of at the end of the year movies to note is Michael Keaton's The Founder. He plays the inventor of McDonald's.
Yeah, Ray Kroc.
That's right, yeah.
Ray Kroc is coming out.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Yeah.
Who's playing the Hamburglar?
Another movie is called Passengers. That's from the director of The Imitation Game, Morton Tilum, and written by John Spates, who did Prometheus. It stars Jennifer Lawrence, Chris Pratt, Michael Sheen, Lawrence Fishburne. It's a sci-fi film, and that's pretty much all we know about it.
What about Deepwater Horizon with Mark Wahlberg and Kurt Russell?
Here we go.
Peter Berg directed,
yeah,
I believe, right?
It's about an oil tanker.
Yes.
Or not a tanker,
Louisiana,
a platform.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
started
platform.
Screening. True, they've started true, having focus group screenings from that, so I've seen that on Twitter. Mark Wahlberg's in it. You know, it's from Lionsgate, so that could be... Yeah. That could be something to watch out for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then yeah. Melissa McCarthy has a new comedy, The Boss.
Yeah. Well, this is directed by her hubby, Ben Falcone. And the last time they teamed up was on Tammy. So let's hope the results are a little better with this one.
Oh, he directed Tammy.
Yeah. But this one co-stars, Veronica Mars, I'm forgetting your name. Kristen Bell.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
So
that's
right. I think that'd be interesting to see how they work as a team.
And there's one coming out called Criminal with this Gal Gadot who's kind of going to be the it girl of 2016, I predict, and Ryan Reynolds, where he gets a different memory transplanted in his brain. Didn't Ryan Reynolds just make this movie called
Selfless?
Selfless.
Oh, good heavens.
I don't know why he's doing the same theme again, but hopefully it will be better than Selfless. It's called Criminal.
Have to be.
What else? A new Bourne movie coming out this summer?
Yeah. It's they don't have a title on it yet.
Alicia Vikander is his co-star in it.
But it's Paul Greengrass is back at the helm of this one. So, yeah. A lot of good stuff coming up.
Bastards is a comedy where Ed Helms and Owen Wilson play the illegitimate sons of J.K. Simmons and track him down across the country. That'll be out later in the year. Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiars is Tim Burton's movie, which opens Christmas Day. That stars Eva Green and Samuel Jackson. Later, just next this month, I think, is Triple Nine, and that also stars Gal Gadot. That's the poster looks really cool. It's got Norman Reedus and Chewie and Woody Harrelson, and it's directed by John Hillcoat, who did The Road and Lawless a couple years ago with Tom Hardy. I think it's a caper film, Triple Nine. But that looks pretty good.
Yeah. A lot of interesting guys. Yeah, I'm trying to recall some of the other trailers. It seemed like we saw a lot of trailers Friday night before Jane got a gun. There's a ton of them, it felt like.
Yeah, The Girl on the Train is based on a best-selling novel, and that stars Emily Blunt. I think that's kind of a murder mystery thing. What else? Patient Zero?
Yeah, with Matt Smith again. It looks like it's another play on the zombie. It looks like the zombies are probably closer to the ones from 28 Days Later, you know, with the... You know, them not shuffling around with them, you know, bolting and running and all that. And Stanley Tucci's in it also, I believe.
Midnight Special stars Joel Edgerton and Michael Shannon and Adam Driver.
That's another one of those mysterious, sci-fi.
Directed by Jeff Nichols, who did Mud and Take Shelter, which.
Yeah, they're trying to keep that under wraps.
Right.
What else? The Disappointments Room is a horror movie with Kate Beckinsale. And there's another horror movie called The Darkness with Kevin Bacon and Radha Mitchell. There's always a lot of horror movies, though.
Oh, man.
So, no.
A couple every month or so.
You got to take the bad with the good with the horror. All right, well, we're going to have to wrap this up, I believe, because we are running out of time. But next week, we'll be back to review Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies, and The Choice, and Hail Caesar. And we can also talk about Deadpool. We can review that and all kinds of other stuff.
Yeah, I'll get to see The Bronze this week, so maybe we can talk a little bit about that. Yeah.
But for now, I'm Tom Stockman.
Michelle McHugh.
Jim Batts.
And join us again next week.
Black leather, rock, rock, rock. Black leather, ta, ta, ta. Black leather.
Oh, naughty, Dave. Hello, darling. Hey, 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 hey.
Black leather,
come
black leather, rock, rock, rock. Black leather, ta, ta, ta. Black leather.